sitting there last night watching a game with this guy, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio, joining us here in studio. And Mike, a lot of dissection today, but nothing has changed my mind from where we were last night. It's just, you know, it's a frustrating loss.
No, and you go through the interviews and the things that were said from both locker rooms on how the game changed and how the Seahawks came out on top. One of the things that I think probably made a big difference was that Ken Norton Jr., the defensive coordinator for Pete Carroll, of course, Pete Carroll is a defensive coach. That's his background. The changes they made at halftime, they told their four down linemen on defense to line up in different gaps, try a little bit of a different technique, and they ran more of a zone defense in their secondary. So that seemed to slow down. The two young wide receivers, MVS and EQ, and Davante Adams was, you know, taken out of the equation a little bit, although he had 10 catches for last night, no touchdowns. So Pete Carroll talked about how they tried to change the tide, and even though he had five false starts on offense, just ridiculous, in his own stadium, his own noisy stadium, he talked about how they turned it around for Seattle.
Really happy about this win for our guys, for all of us. We took us a long time to get going in the first half. We just didn't play well at all. You know, that doesn't decide the game. Our guys went in halftime. We made a few adjustments. The defense put some stuff together that just turned the game around, really, by the stops they kept getting, and just played entirely different football for us. And it was just a great turnaround. I think probably most happy with the way we finished the game. We kick them the ball with, I don't know, 5-10 or something like that, and then we get three and out and get out off the field, and we get the ball back with like 4:15 or something, and then we run the clock out. Man, that's as good as you can do. I love it.
You know, and when he's got the ball with 5 minutes left, he goes to his sure thing, his run game. His three running backs by committee, they rushed for over 170 yards. They also threw in a play that they had installed in practice this week, that winning touchdown pass to the big tight end, Ed Dixon, over the middle, something that they had practiced just a couple of times that they installed because they thought they saw something in an opening if Green Bay gave them that kind of a set when they got in the red zone, and by gosh, it worked, you know. Russell Wilson saw it. Dixon said, you know, he you know, made that call, saw him, and they got the touchdown right over the middle. Mike McCarthy on the offense breaking down in the second half after going up 14-3, taking advantage of the fumble that your defense gets you after you defer the kick. And then you're still ahead 21-17 on the road in noisy Seattle. And he talked about his defense, his offense breaking down in the second half, the Seahawks making changes on their defensive line, and about Aaron Rodgers basically running the offense out there on the field.
The noise factor, and you know, at times, you know, I thought they did a good job with the four-man rush. You know, we had some penetration that was a little more difficult to deal with there in the second half than in the first half. Aaron is very involved in the offense. I mean, he has the opportunity, ability to be involved in all three aspects of it. Always has.
The Packers' offense breaks down in the second half. Their last six possessions, one Mason Crosby field goal, five punts. So I was surprised that a lot of fans reacted about why didn't the Packers go for it on that 4th-and-2 from their own 30-yard line with 3-4 minutes left to play. Go for it. You got nothing to lose at this point, right? McCarthy was asked about that.
You know, we had the injuries to Kenny Clark and you know, Mike Daniels. So, yeah, it was definitely a consideration there. But with the one timeout and then, you know, ability to stop the clock at the 2 minutes. So we played the numbers, but we considered taking the time out there and going for it on 4th-and-2.
Now in the locker room,
it sounded like he was more saying why they should have gone for it than explaining why they didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He had a similar response to the Tyler Lockett catch on the winning touchdown drive, why he didn't stop and go for a challenge to see if, in fact, that ball was wiggling out of his right arm as he was sliding the turf. He said, well, I kind of thought about it, and he mumbled something about the jumbled turf. You know, later this hour, he's supposed to have a press conference. Maybe he'll have more for it. We can get it on here before the show's over with here at the top of the hour. You go in the Packers locker room, crickets, ghost town again. Tremont Williams asked about, do you think that Coach McCarthy should have gone for it on that 4th-and-2 from your own 30?
Good question. Good question. You know, when we're in games like this, we got to go for it, man. We play to win. You know, we play to win. We got the best quarterback behind center. We're not going to turn on each other or nothing. We're going to do any fighting or anything like that. It's a team. I mean, we love each other. and we stick together.
The only way you can win at anything, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, baseball, you're running a company, is honesty. And tonight on Football Life on NFL, they're going to profile Mike Holmgren. And you're going to hear Mike Holmgren talk about when he went from Green Bay and had to completely turn around. This Seahawks, they were still playing in the, you know, in the dome out there.
Right.
They weren't selling tickets. There was concern the Seahawks were going to move out of Seattle. And he brought in Ted Thompson, a guy that he'd worked with in Green Bay, Mike Reinfeld from Wisconsin, you know, Ripon and all that. And he said the best thing about those three guys is that we could be honest with each other.
Right.
No one was there just trying to cover to keep their job. They could criticize each other face to face.
Right.
There was a trust, but that's how they got to the root of the problems. That's how they solved the problems. Aaron Rodgers was asked about all these three and outs. You're holding on to the ball. You're not dumping off to a check down to Aaron Jones, Mercedes Lewis. Well, he actually wasn't asked that directly. He should be next time we talk to him. But he went with the fact that I'm out there with these rookie receivers.
Yeah, we got to get back to getting open on our routes and being in the right space at the right time and figuring out what those best concepts are for our guys. You know, without Randall, without Geronimo, we're still learning these young receivers. Devontae's incredible. I mean, he really is. But teams are going to continue to shade to his side, I would think. There wasn't a ton tonight. I mean, he had a lot of one-on-one matchups, and that's what's going to happen when you leave that guy open, one-on-one in space.
And Rodgers did admit after the game, too, he also missed a wide-open Devontae in the back of the end zone, which could have been a touchdown, which would have been a difference maker.
But
in the game.
When he says got to get open, need receivers to get open, it's like, come on. I mean, there was numerous times you and I are screaming, throw the damn ball.
Aaron Rodgers is playing chess, okay, with a bunch of young guys that are really at checkers level. And on top of that, he says, come on, stand over, look over my shoulder. Now look at the board here. Now, what do you think is going to be my next move here on the chessboard? That's what he's expecting you to do. That's the level that he's trying to play at. But it ain't going to work. And they're not giving him.
But at some point, you need to know that you have to scale it back if the guys aren't getting it. You have to just take what they give you.
Like I said to you last night during the game when we were talking about this, I said, when's the last time Tom Brady walked on the field with two or three rookies in a big game at wide receiver?
Right.
They always get him free agents. They get him free agents that nobody else wants to deal with. Josh Gordon, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, Randy Moss, his third or fourth team. They get the ones that nobody else wants, and the next thing you know, they're running down the sideline, they're catching touchdowns. So honesty. Let's get right to the root of the problem. And Aaron Rodgers was asked directly, wow, I mean, now you got to play the Vikings in Minnesota. The Bears are for real. Has the team given up hope?
I don't even know how to answer that. I mean, come on, what am I supposed to say? Of course there's hope. Of course we believe in each other. You know, it's just going to take one galvanizing moment. So whether that's a speech or a practice or something happens in the game, something's got to get this thing going. I thought we had moments tonight where that was the way we were going. You know, the defense, a lot of injuries. Offensively, we lost Jimmy, but guys battled. So, I mean, nobody gave up hope. You know, we just didn't play well enough when we had to play well enough.
Looks like Jimmy Graham broke his thumb. After winning 22-0 in a shutout over the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, by the way, Ian Rapoport saying that Jimmy Graham with a broken thumb and the Packers aren't sure how many games he's going to miss.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, after that Bills shutout win, what does he say? Yeah, we had no flow today in offense. We should have scored 50 points. Our offense was never in flow. We had problems with the game plan. Well, he's being honest in telling you what the problems is or how he assesses it. He did talk about, you know, missed throws he's having himself. But at the same time, you know, it's this double-edged sword that he's now calling out his coach. Now he comes out of this game and says, and I told you this coming into this week, Bill, they were on track and they were motivated and they were all hitting on all cylinders when they went out to L.A. They played three quarters of football where the game plan is working. Everybody's working it as a team. People weren't flying off the field and, you know, on the injury cart. They were going great, and then they beat themselves with a couple of key plays. You know, the Rams got wise, made a couple of touchdowns, And then, of course, the Ty Montgomery fumble coming out of when he should have taken the knee. They were so frustrated. And they really haven't recovered. Even though they went 17-17 with the Patriots, that locker room has been in a funk. And that hence you've got Randall Cobb saying a week ago today, we've lost before, but I don't get what this is. And that's right. that's what's in the locker room right now. And now you got the quarterback saying, we need a speech or something. We need somebody, someone to galvanize us, which again goes back to who? Essentially the head coach. Where's the fiery speech? Even when they've had a couple of these wins, have you heard anybody talking about game balls?
No.
The game ball should go to Kyler Fackrell, who had three
huge
sacks,
game.
A deflected pass, and gets ripped on. And I've also said, boy, this kid is so humble. Family man, and come back from the knee surgeries, and it just doesn't. He's got the height and he's got some strength, but he just doesn't really seem to have the fire in the belly you got to be an outside linebacker. Well, all of a sudden the technique's coming through. Credit Mike Pettine for perhaps putting him in the right place. And after 3 years of development, it's coming through. A deflected pass and three sacks. And what does this humble kid do? He thanks Clay Matthews.
Clay's been great. I've learned a lot from him, playing with him. And I think, sometimes plays are just, they kind of come to you. Sometimes it's just you have those kind of nights. All of us have a good deal of respect for one another with our ability to pass rush. So I'm sure they focus on Clay a lot more than they focus on me. So that helps me.
It does. I mean, because Clay's having a pretty decent season. There's kind of a decision at the end of the season what they want to do with Clay. Because Clay's not going to get the money he's getting now. Would Clay be worth retaining?
I think it's conventional that both he and Nick Perry are gone. And
you think Nick Perry's gone too?
I just feel like the rebuild is on. It's on already in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reaction after the loss in Los Angeles to lose Clinton Dix and Montgomery in the trade, and then the following week when Jermaine Whitehead slaps the Patriots center in the face mask, and that clearly is a move like, we're not taking hotheads, and you put a G on your helmet, that's not going to be tolerated. That's not how you're going to represent the team. That's the new general manager saying, this is what I stand for. So you're either with us moving forward or whatnot. That doesn't seem like, boy, sure glad we got rid of Jermaine Whitehead, because this is when we turned our season around and headed for the Super Bowl. It only just creates more fractions in an already fractured locker room.
A locker room, by the way, that I don't think anymore Mike McCarthy's going to wrap his arms around. I think we are, I said it earlier, if you like binge watching Dead Man Walking, that's what this is. That's what this is. As much as I like Mike, and we were talking about this last night, I like Mike. I think he's a terrific guy. I've always loved talking to him. He's always been funny. He's always been fun to hang out with. I really do. But I just think, as Ron Wolf said just moments ago, it's about the W's. It's about the results. They don't pay you. They're paying you for the score. And if you're not winning and winning consistently, and in addition to that, you have problems in the locker room, you can't replace all the players.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going to play the Rams this weekend. Should be a pretty good game out in L.A. And when you watch that game, you're going to see when the Chiefs' defense is on the field. Andy Reid is not on the sidelines with the headset. He's down on the bench with Patrick Mahomes, his young quarterback who reminds him a lot of the physicality of Brett Favre, that arm strength, 85 yards down the field. And he's like, all right, kid, what'd you see? All right, here's what we can do in the next drive. Maybe we can try this. And they're working together. They're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're having fun. If you're Mike McCarthy and you see how complicated this whole situation has gotten Green Bay, and really, it's any business, any job, any head coaching gig, after about 10 years, it starts getting stale, man. The marriage starts getting stale.
Yeah.
When he sees that kind of thing, don't you think he says, I don't need this anymore?
Oh, God, yeah.
I've made a lot of money in Green Bay, and it's been a great place for the family. I would love to prove them all wrong and get a second shot and get a Patrick Mahomes and take it from there.
Well, can he take, I don't think he's going to end up in Cleveland, but could he take a young Baker Mayfield, the decent defense they have, get a couple pieces and make that team all of a sudden a playoff team?
Or two or three other teams out there that are going to have open head coaching jobs.
I don't think I would. It seems like a natural fit to go to Cleveland, but I'm not saying he will.
You could go to the Cardinals. They got a new quarterback there.
Or the Cardinals.
You could take over the Jets. They got a new quarterback
there. Sweat a lot out there in Arizona.
He sure would.
Man, Mike didn't look good last night after that game. He looked like a guy that was physically about as beat down.
Well, emotionally distraught, drained.
Yeah.
Practically dehydrated. Not good.
Good stuff, Michael. Appreciate it, man.